Entitled People, Homeless People Jack Knox's column on the snow was excellent and made me laugh. I noticed both the extreme friendliness of people in the snow-covered streets, and also the whiny attitudes of locals. A snowstorm is an act of nature, but our entitled folks began wincing the moment they couldn't get their SUVs out of their double garages to rush to the mall and buy tinsel. My friends are in South America. I wonder how people down there handle setbacks. Probably not like crybabies. On another note, the news reported concern for small birds. What about street people sleeping in minus 20 C wind chill? I saw someone sleeping in a doorway in Oak Bay on Tuesday night. God forbid. Ann Wheeldon Victoria Military Facilities could help in cold weather in Victoria. There are not enough bad weather shelters, warming places, etc. Why isn't the Bay Street Armory Parade Hall being used? The Army has lots of cots. Naden 2. Mike Wood Sonichton add price fixing to the list of cost drivers re. Ukraine, inflation the biggest food stories of 2022, commentary, December 21. An interesting list of 10 food cost drivers prepared by Sylvain Charlebois, senior director of the Agri-Food Analytics Lab at Dalhousie University in Halifax. Missing from the list is what I consider the most important food cost driver in Canada. I am referring to federal government-sanctioned monopolistic price-fixing organizations known as marketing boards. If my recollections are correct, producers were allowed to raise prices on at least two occasions during the past 12 months. In October, Canada's Competition Bureau announced it is launching a study on competition in the grocery industry with a report expected in June 2023. It will be interesting to see if the impact of marketing boards is included in the report. Brian Summers Victoria encourage masks to keep us healthy. COVID is not going away. In fact, its burden is growing heavier by the day. So why can't Dr. Bonnie Henry strongly encourage people to wear masks when indoors? Her counterpart in Ontario is sending out that message. Short of mask mandates, this is the minimum Henry should be doing. Getting up-to-date vaccinations is important, but indoor masking is needed now. David Kirkham Metchison. Perhaps 2023 will bring a return to normalcy as we look back on the year that was. Few, if any, would regret leaving 2022, and COVID, in the rearview mirror. War in Ukraine, a convoy in our capital, rampant influenza, our healthcare system in crisis, opioid deaths, random violence on our streets, homelessness, a federal government inept at providing basic services, worsening carbon emissions, higher interest rates, etc. The year that was. And in our personal lives, too, perhaps the passing of loved ones, flames too soon extinguished. Yes, the year that was provided heartache and challenges abound, most frustratingly beyond our individual control. Yet, as Christmas and a new year approach, and the old hastens its exit, may we all gaze down the path before us to a welcoming horizon, to hope, and perhaps to normalcy. And to inspiring each of us to apply the healing balm of forgiveness to those who may have maligned us, and make peace to resolve our personal conflicts. And to say, I love you, often, and beyond the tumult of a raging sea, the year that was, may a calming harbor await one and all at Christmas, and in the new year. Gordon Zawaski Parksville party system needs to be discarded, having candidates vetted before they run for political office as long overdue. This is true for us voters too. Impulsive ordinary citizens are ill-equipped to choose competent rulers. The first thing that needs to be done is to get rid of the old party system. They turn democracies into oligarchies and plutocracies that allow minorities to rule majorities. Our municipal form of government has its faults, but is much more democratic. Doug Poole Courtenay. If they have dementia, they should not drive. No one with dementia should ever be behind the wheel of a moving vehicle, period. If people can't remember traffic instructions, then I'm sure they would not remember some critical road rules, like stopping and not passing a school bus when the bus is stopped to either pick up or drop students off, speed limits in a school zone, pulling over for an emergency vehicle, etc. Families have to take responsibility for ensuring that their loved ones who have a mental impairment do not drive. If they don't, I'm sure there will come a time when they just might be criminally or financially responsible for the actions of their impaired loved one. Saying, I'm so sorry for the death or injury of someone's loved one just doesn't cut it. I know what I'm talking about because my husband was diagnosed with early dementia. He was a good driver, but I noticed things when driving with him that I knew were a problem. I told my doctor to notify ICBC that my husband's driving needed to be tested and his license pulled. He survived not having a license, and I always reminded him how lucky he was to have his own personal chauffeur. I would say, where to, my lord? Lillian Morgan Victoria housing crisis not caused by straight owners. I have been a tenant, a single-family homeowner, an owner of a condo in a rentals allowed building and a single-family homeowner with a legal suite. I downsized to a 15-unit self-managed building several years ago. I am on the strata council. Our building allows roommates provided the owner resides in their unit. Rentals are prohibited with the exception of financial hardship. For example, when someone has had to move and cannot sell quickly due to the market. On several occasions I have been a landlord. I had very good tenants, but one that almost burnt my house down. Another was a respectable-looking woman who provided references and paid the first and last month's rent and the damage deposit immediately. She was a front for drug dealers that turned my condo into a drug distribution center. I agree with those opposed to forcing rentals. This regulation could backfire and cause prices to escalate as investors buy condos and charge as much rent as they want to. It will also put a lot of strain on strata councils. Being on a strata council is a voluntary position that sometimes requires a lot of time. I am not a NIMBY. I just don't have any faith that this regulation will be successful in what it is meant to achieve. What will happen next? Single-family homeowners regulated to provide part of their property for someone to lease and install a tiny home? If this regulation is put in place, owners should consider several bylaws such as limiting number of occupants in each unit, not allowing short-term rentals, requiring owners wanting to rent their units to take a course in selecting tenants, and requiring absentee landlords to place their unit with a local property management company. Will these new bylaws be enforceable? Former Premier John Horgan did the right thing by backtracking on the museum demolition and rebuild. Hopefully David Eby will see the light and scrap this proposal. The unaffordable housing crisis is not the responsibility of strata property owners. Lorena Green Victoria better transit needed, and lots of examples. Building a proper transit line is a golden opportunity, and Victoria should jump on it. The line is already there and lots of examples to follow are out there. See train in Calgary, tram lines in Toronto or Europe, concrete bus guideways in Adelaide and so on. Building new roads is not going to happen and bicycles are not a solution either. Buses could work with dedicated lanes and be on time. Start with Victoria to Langford. This is the greatest need, and that need is only increasing. CV. Stuart Victoria Amalgamation? Not in my lifetime I could see Victoria residents possibly being in favor of amalgamating with Saanich. They have nothing to lose. Their city is already a total mess in everything from bike lanes to crime to homeless camps and areas of the city where the council has bought up motels that turned everything within several blocks into slums. How many businesses have left Victoria because of all this? On the Saanich side, we've managed to stay away from all that, so far, and hopefully will continue to, although our council has done some really stupid things with bike lanes recently. I haven't gone near downtown Victoria in several years, and I know a lot of people have stopped going there as well, and more will. Sure, Victoria Council and City advocates will deny all this, but it's true. Hopefully amalgamation with Victoria won't happen in my lifetime. Larry Zielinski Saanich, change our language. Change our thinking. The answer to supporting people with chronic and persistent mental illness is not simply reopening Riverview. I suggest that our language be changed to providing people with honorable asylum and compassionate care and treatment. If this can take place on the Riverview grounds, great. If not, we need another suitable locations. Reopening Riverview is a trigger for many people and their families. Bobby Pushinsky Sydney, plenty of great sports events are ahead like many around the world. I too am sad that the Soccer World Cup has ended. But wait for next year. The Women's FIFA World Cup starts in July, the Rugby World Cup starts in September, but the one I can't wait for is the World Stone Skimming Championships to be held on Easdale Island, off the Scottish coast. That will bring back peaceful memories for everyone, but try reffing those games. Christopher Costin Victoria, send us your letters, email letters to letters@timescolonist.com, mail. Letters to the Editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tyee Road. Victoria, BCV 9A6X5, submissions should be no more than 250 words. subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.